What a great night for open lines, isn't it? Richard C. Hoagland continuing to monitor the situation with the shuttle for us. Richard will be up all night again, but he reports in to us from the enterprisemission.com. Two shuttle astronauts about to step outside for their first EVA. He says it is literally also the first time for both of them. They're over Italy now. I've always wondered, too, exactly how high up are they? 224 miles up over Italy. A couple hours ago, we were interviewing the 17-year-old Bryce Mellon. He's blind. He plays video games. When we had him on hold, he hears some things that you don't hear, and he wanted to know about this one sound he kept hearing. Well, that was a promo that we edit, and every once in a while, we may send it to stations, our 500 affiliates and stuff. I want you to hear it. Bryce heard it. He couldn't figure out what it was. So this was from a caller who was on some time ago, but what the heck? Fire away, Kiris.
You never know what you'll hear on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Wildcard line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
I have a story. It's about a man who bought private airplanes. And the last one was the death of him, literally.
Oh, no.
Because he went out to pick up his new airplane. And so, you know, the story, something happened and it just tore the plane apart and it killed him. The next night, I heard this bird and it sounded kind of like this. It sounded like something really, really angry.
Sounds like you're having problems with your dinner.
And I thought, what in thunderation is that?
You think he was the bird?
I absolutely do think.
Give me that bird sound one more time.
All
right. Why did I do that? Those are the little promos we do every once in a while that you don't have an eye. You hear it live during the whole call, but you don't hear the promo portion. So when we come back, we've got another hour to go of Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Boy, the response to the radio EVP sound is absolutely staggering, but this one from Aaron in San Bernardino, California, you have got to listen to this one. He writes, oh my God, when the caller had the radio on, I was in the kitchen getting a drink. I looked out on my patio, and there was a short woman mouthing the words Bob and seeing exactly what was on the radio. At the moment, George, I'm in the bedroom. The door is locked. Don't come out, Aaron. Stay where you are. Help is on the way. Wildcard line, welcome to the program. You are on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, this is Carrie from Western North Carolina. How
Hello.
You doing, George?
Carrie, I'm doing great. Thank you.
I was calling to tell you about what I believe is a bona fide miracle that occurred to me and a best friend of mine just in the last month. She's been feeling bad for several months, you know, but suddenly I started feeling bad. I was getting real bad dizzy spells and my appetite just kind of went away. And so I made a doctor's appointment.
Okay.
I went to the doctor and I weighed 90 pounds. My normal weight's 115 to 120.
How tall are you?
Yeah. So, anyway, I was supposed to go back a week later.
Hey, how tall are you?
5'5" and 3/4".
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
That's all right. I need to, it's all relative when you talk about weight, but 90 pounds is, that's pretty thin.
Exactly. And I started, you know, having the dizzy spells and all that, so I had made an appointment, you know, and they did blood work, and I was supposed to go back a week later. Well, the day of my appointment, I overslept. And I woke up like 20 minutes before the appointment, and I called him and I said, I'm going to have to reschedule. No way I can make it. So they rescheduled it. Second time, same thing happened. I overslept, and I usually don't do that. And so they rescheduled it. Well, my friend, who hadn't been feeling good for several months, suddenly started getting worse and worse and worse. She couldn't get up and walk 5 feet across the room without her heart pounding. She was weak.
Mm.
She was seeing spots in front of her eyes. So the morning of my appointment, I called the doctor's office, and I said, look, can you get my friend in? She is in really bad shape. Can you please get her in with me? And so they said they worked it out so that I was in at 3 and she was in at 3:15. Well, it turns out that it was a good thing because her blood work came back and she was admitted to ICU tonight. Her hemoglobin, which is supposed to be something like in a normal person, 1,500 or 1,600, something like that, was 16.
Oh, my God. She's like walking dead.
The nurse, as a matter of fact, said that was the lowest hemoglobin they had ever seen come in with the person still walking. And she's really worried because they're talking about doing a bone marrow biopsy, all this. So I'd like to ask all your listeners to pray for, send her good energy, whatever they believe, you know. And also, a couple comments while I was on hold. I was listening to some of the other callers, like the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if the man that owns the radio smokes, because to me, it almost sounded like she was saying, Bob, don't smoke.
I don't know if I heard that part, but I did hear the Bob part.
Yeah, I heard the Bob part, too, but at one point, I thought I heard the word smoke, and he said she died of emphysema. And also, my heart goes out to the man who lost the pets. I have 9 dogs and 7 cats, and if anything happens to one of them, it almost kills me.
Now, wait a minute. You have 9 dogs and 7 cats?
Yes, sir. I'm bad for taking in strays. I cannot stand.
Well, as long as you can handle it and take care of it, then you know, you should be congratulated. So many people have so many animals, and they can't take care of all of them, and then they don't do justice to them.
Oh, honey, mine are pampered. They eat better than I do.
That's a way to do it.
I even raised a possum, as a matter of fact. My dog caught a little baby possum, didn't hurt it, and I raised it until it was full grown and, you know, started teaching it to look for food and let it go. I actually have a picture of it with my daughter that I'll email you.
Did he ever hang around the house, or did he just keep going?
I think he hung around the house because some of the cages I have out in the back, there was actually a little baby possum got into one of them, and I didn't notice until I have a cat that's kind of wild that I keep. It's like a huge cage and with chain link fence, and I noticed the food was going real fast, and I found a half-grown possum in there. Apparently it had gotten in there when it was a baby.
Yeah, could have
been
him.
And was eating the cat food, couldn't get back out.
Well, I tell you what, if I were an animal and you fed me and took care of me, I'm not going anywhere.
And, you know, the caller that was talking about his niece that saw the spirit.
You're giving me a blow-by-blow synopsis of the program.
I'm sorry. It's just that I have always heard that young children and even animals can see spirits only because they've never been taught they can't.
That is true.
Once you start telling somebody, oh, that's impossible, they don't exist, our minds cease to
That's
see
right.
Them.
They grow right out of it.
You know, but anyway, this is my very first time to get to talk to you, and I tried and tried and tried, and I finally got through. I enjoy your program and Art and Ian. And I try to listen to you as often as possible, and you keep up the good work. And I will send you a picture of my daughter with that possum, and he is standing up on her, in her lap with his paws up on her shoulder, giving her kisses.
All right, you got that. You got a deal.
Curled up with the cats, played with the dogs. It's just unbelievable.
Okay, thanks.
So just tell your listeners to please send out good energy to my friend Angel. I'm really hoping nothing serious is wrong with
Consider it done.
Thank you, George. You have a wonderful weekend.
Okay.
God bless you.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. West of the Rockies, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good to talk
to you. Where might you be?
Oh, my name's Derek. I'm in Hollywood.
Oh, well, not too far from where we are.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wanted to talk about parallel universes and the combination of that into what you're talking about people having really bad experiences.
Do you think I'm onto something here?
Oh, I think it's happening a lot. Tonight I was out talking to a bunch of people that do a job that I do, and half of them were saying, like, I made $6. I made $14, and other people are making hundreds of dollars. And, you know, like, everybody's either having things going really good or going really bad.
Yeah, there's no in-between this time.
Exactly. And you know, For a while I was having really, really bad things happen to me. And, you know, like, I started going to AA, and, like, I put an effort and conscious will to change things, and now things are going great for me.
Good.
And I think that has a lot to do with it.
But there is something looming over this planet. It is just weird.
I think it's the whole 666 thing, you know, the mark of the beast. You were talking about the computer chip and stuff like that. I don't know exactly what the mark of the beast itself is, but I think it's a name and a number. And the only name and number I know of something in relation to 666, which is the repeating number for 2/3, is what's left is 1/3. And the only name that's a number and a number of man that's 1/3 is the third world. And the meek are the ones that are supposed to inherit the earth.
You may be right. I think it's a code, and we may very well be kicking that code into effect right now.
Right. The parallel universes, I think if we start locking ourselves, if everything about us is tracked, I think the parallel universes are our consciousness is all united, and the things that we decide that is consciousness, like the woman who just said everybody asked it to pray, the experiments that you've done, group consciousness can change the reality and move into a different reality. And I think for some reason they're trying to lock us into one reality so that they can control that reality, because there's, you know, people talk about Nelson Mandela. Everybody, so many people think that he died. The Great Pyramid was supposed to have.
No, you're right. He's alive. So many people think that Jack Palance is dead. The actor,
right.
He's alive. He's kicking around out here somewhere, isn't he?
You remember when they tried to put the solid gold capstone on the Great Pyramid?
Yes.
For the year 2000?
Yep.
And then afterwards they said it didn't happen. But, you know, do we really know if that happened? If something like, you know, time shifting is going on and we're going into different realities?
Well, I am convinced.
That was something that wasn't allowed then.
I am convinced, and thanks for the call. I am totally convinced that parallel universes do exist now. And I think, like the physicist Michio Kaku, these people are right on the money. They know what they're talking about. Something
right.
Weird Make is going on.
The right one.
You got it. Okay, thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right, take care of yourself. Next up, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Greg from Waukesha.
Now, that is where?
That is in Wisconsin.
Okay.
I'm a constant caller over and over again.
You get through. You know the secret.
Yes, I do. Two things I wanted to bring up tonight, George, was two experiences that I've had. I went to a paranormal fair we had in Wisconsin here, and I had a lady do an angel reading for me.
And what'd she say?
And she actually said that I've got two guardian angels, and I got every single angel that God has behind me.
Well, you're in pretty good shape.
Everyone. And she says nobody else that I've done a reading for has got that many angels.
Why do you need all these angels behind you? That's the question.
Well, six times in my life I almost died.
Well, you got three more. You got three more to go.
Yeah, and one other thing I wanted to tell you, George, real quickly was I took some pictures of my own apartment in Wisconsin with my digital camera, and I picked up four orbs.
What in? Did they look mysterious or like flashes?
They were mysterious.
Send me the mysterious ones.
You got it. Okay. I mean, I know they're my grandparents and a trickster ghost.
Okay. Send them to us.
I will.
Okay. Just to Lex at coasttocoastam.com, and we'll take a look at it. And normally, the orb pictures we put up are very unusual because we get hundreds of them all the time. You know, I don't want the kind that look like flashes, but if you get something unusual, send it our way. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, is that me?
It is.
Hello, I'm calling from Claremont, California.
Well, hi.
Listening to you on the internet, KFI.
Good to have you with us.
Pretty close. Long-time fan, huge fan of you and Art and Ian and everybody. I want to start with a joke. My joke is, you know, the string theory, and you were just talking about parallel universes.
Uh-huh.
Well, my joke is, you know, and then the geometric shape, the parallelogram.
Yeah.
Well, what's a parallelogram? It's a telegram from a parallel universe.
Okay.
Okay, I wanted to tell you that.
Funny.
But I have more. I want to, first
stitches.
Of all... your caller who was doing the recap virtually of the show with all the kitties and doggies she has and
right,
the possum.
Right.
Her friend Angel, I'm somewhat of a psychic. It's a family thing, and my nickname is the Goddess of Oddness, okay?
The Goddess of Oddness.
The Goddess of Oddness.
That's kind of catchy.
Kind of has a ring to it, vaguely East Indian sounding.
Why Goddess of Oddness do they call you this?
To try to stay on topic when everything seems to be connected, synchronicity is my middle name. And it's sort of, everything makes sense, and it's all in the great, I don't know what to call it, but to try to stay on topic, the possum. I raised a possum that I found on my front porch.
Okay.
It was pretty much a baby when you consider how long it grew and how long I had it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, in the wild, they don't make it past 3 years. We had Lexi, which was her name. We had Lexi. It's a Klingon joke in there someplace. But we had Lexi till she was about 6 years old.
And then she died.
I found her one morning, and I did not want to put her down. Got to the point where I was having to hold her so she could drink water.
Did you keep her in a cage?
No, she had the run of a house. I was lucky enough to have a tolerant husband.
Hold on, I got to ask you. Where does an opossum, like, go to the bathroom?
Well, believe it or not, for the most of the time we had her, she used a litter box.
Like a cat?
Like a cat.
Huh.
And I just have to say, I feel that these are kind of maligned critters. You betcha they've got razor-sharp teeth. And you betcha they will pull their, you know, mouth up so their gums are exposed if you corner them. And they will hiss, although she never did this. They're just absolutely, if you interact with them from the time they're small, they're amazing. I think what kind
of... Does she ever bite you?
Never. Huh. Never.
So she doesn't have rabies, I guess.
In fact, that was something I checked on early on because I had two children. They are not able to, it's something to do with the receptors. The rabies cannot stay in their body. They don't, they're never rabid.
And are you sure she died?
Am I sure? Oh, yes. Yes, I know where you're going.
That's my joke.
Possum.
That's what I was going to say.
No.
Playing possum.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's an interesting thing. That was something. And our theory
it's
is...
a better joke than yours.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, but it is. But here's the deal is, we kind of speculated without, you know, specific checking with the biologist. I didn't want to subject her to anything like that. We sort of figured that maybe the reason that she was on our porch that morning eating the cat food, maybe whatever led her to not be able to get, you know, off of our porch and out of civilization. We're relatively, you know, suburban. We're 2 blocks from the Claremont Colleges. I mean, it's not a forest. And we figured that, except when the students are here, but that's another story. We figured that maybe the reason that she never, quote, went possum on us, which is an involuntary reaction, kind of like the fainting goats.
Yeah.
We figured possibly it was because she didn't have whatever nervous system thing kicked in also was the reason she ended up on her front porch.
Could be. There's always a reason. You know
always,
that.
Always a reason. But I want to say to Angel,
30 seconds.
Yes, exactly. See if she can check to see if her friend has any kind of exposure to toxoplasmosis, which is also known as cat scratch fever. It really can get you down if it's undiagnosed. Otherwise, it's treatable.
Good point. Hey, yep. Thanks for the call. Have a good
You're
weekend.
Welcome. Thank you so much.
And we'll be back in a moment, and we'll have final phone calls. So don't go anywhere. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Here's a look at some of the guests coming up next week. And don't forget Ian Punnett tomorrow, Art Bell on Sunday. First hour guest for Art on Sunday will be Ed Dames as they talk about the kill shot. And with all these solar flares, you know what? You never know. Robert Zimmerman on Monday with a science show on leaving planet Earth. Alex Jones on Tuesday. We're going to talk about conspiracies, why people are so fascinated by them. However, the first hour guest on Tuesday will be Billy Mumy. I used to think it was Mummy when I was a kid, but nope, it's Mumy. And he was the kid who was in Lost in Space. He's not a kid anymore. And also he was in the Twilight Zone movie where he wished people into the cornfield. You remember that? So he's our first hour guest on Tuesday, followed by Alex Jones. Michael Luckman, our guest on Wednesday. He talks about the fascination of extraterrestrials with rock stars, different kind of coast-to-coast program. Thursday, Benjamin Krem, representing the Maitreya, will be our guest, and then we'll be back to Friday again with Open Lines. And let's go back to Open Lines. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up on Coast to Coast.
Hello, George.
Hi.
This is Larry from Anaheim.
Hi, Larry.
I'm calling in regard to whether or not luck is, like, annually sequential, like year after year, maybe from, in my case, August to December. I seem to have the best luck. Every job I've ever gotten, I've gotten in December.
My best month is October. I don't know why. Same thing. I've had great things happening in September. In October.
I hear you. Last year, December 21st, I had a $25,000 win at a casino. And there's a weird part to that, and that is that I had already won about $2,000, and I was still up maybe about $5,000, in addition to that $2,000. And I was out of cigarettes, and I was ready to leave. And I noticed behind me and to my left, somebody had left their cigarettes and their lighter.
I love it.
Sitting right there at one of the slot machines.
Was it your brand?
No, it was Virginia Slims. You know, little tiny cigarettes.
What's a guy doing smoking Virginia Slims for crying out loud?
It's any port in the storm. I took those cigarettes, and I took that lighter. And, George, I went around to a machine I knew I liked, and I had won $5,000 on that machine in August. And it paid off 10 times, red 7, 10 times for
$25,000. No!
It sure did.
My God. Now, how do they pay you that, in cash, or do they give you a check?
You know what? They said, why don't we go over here to a special room. And they actually escorted me off with a security guard with $25,000 cash.
And then they robbed you in the parking lot or
no,
something.
No, sir. Oh, that, okay. I had the escort.
And do you tip the guy?
You know, I did. Absolutely. I always do that whenever
how much
they bring
you
me a drink.
How much did you give the security guy who
$500.
Walked you? You gave him $500 just to walk you out?
You betcha.
That's pretty generous.
More than that. I gave to our church. Every year they have a drive at the end of the year, and they just call it Gifts for Jesus.
Yeah.
And
that's probably why it comes back to you so much.
Yeah, without question. But I was afraid to go back ever since. But then the reason I lost it, most of it back, was because my wife was ready to retire. She is now a retiree after 29 years on the job, and I'm so proud of her.
That's a good thing.
And I knew we wanted to go up to Oregon and look for property and have a house built, and that was my way to contribute. So I got greedy and wanted to contribute more.
There's a moral here, isn't there?
Amen, brother.
Okay, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is David from Alabama.
Hey, David.
Got a question for you. I have a reoccurring dream, and it's a very weird dream. I'm 29 years old, and I dream about a girl that I knew in the sixth grade, which would be 1988. And I dream about her probably five nights a week. And in the dreams, she's telling me she loves me, and she's almost asking me for help in certain situations. And it's been going on for about a year now. And my question is this some kind of ESP? Is this her spirit trying to contact me? I haven't spoken to her since the sixth grade.
So you don't know if she's still alive?
I have no idea.
Can you find her?
I've tried looking her up on the internet, and to my knowledge, if it's the girl that I think it is, she is still alive, living in my hometown, which I don't live in anymore. But I haven't spoken to her since 1988. I left the school after the sixth grade, and we've never laid eyes on each other since. And I dream about her five nights a week, at least.
Sixth graders are pretty young, but, I mean, did you have a crush on her or anything then?
Oh, we were boyfriend, girlfriend, you know. We quote unquote went together during the school year, but I mean, it was nothing significant. I'm a happily married man. I have a small child. Haven't been happier ever in my life. Right. But
I wonder if she's trying to send you a message. I wonder if she's died and she's trying to do something.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because I wake up around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning every night after having this dream. And in my dream, she's my age, but she still looks like what I remember her 17 years ago.
I think my curiosity would have me try to track her down somehow.
Well, I've tried, and I've gone to the internet sites. There's no phone number for her. I can't find any way to contact her. I've called information. I've called operators, Bell South.
Is the dream the same all the time?
No, it's we're always in a different setting, a different situation, and it's always ends up at the end, she and I talking and her telling me that she wants to be with me and that she loves me. And the disturbing thing for me is I haven't laid eyes on the girl in 17 years, and I'm thinking, why am I dreaming about someone I haven't seen in 17 years?
That is weird.
I didn't know if you had any enlightenment on that or what.
I can only think that either for some reason she's alive and she's thinking about you and you've got that kind of connection, that happens, or something's happened to her and she's reaching out to you for some reason to see if you can help her.
Well, that's all I can think of.
And I will tell you this, it'll drive you nuts unless you get an answer.
And for the last 6 months, I've been trying to track her down, and I've had no luck whatsoever.
Well, you know, maybe you can go back to I don't even know if the school would have any records. Sixth grade, you're in your late 20s now.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, sixth grade, it's not like we had anything significant back then.
Do you remember where she lived?
She lived on a river in my hometown.
Maybe that's one way to start. Backtrack a little bit. Maybe they moved. Maybe the parents still live there. I mean, what would you do if you go back there to the house and they say, oh, she died maybe a year or two after that? That would be strange, wouldn't it?
And then I'd be calling you again asking for an update.
Exactly. All right, thanks. I would do that. Try to go back to the house.
Thank you.
All right. It may be worth a trip, to tell you the truth. Let's go to our Strange Karma Hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey,
yeah.
George.
What's up?
Hey, this is Trevor from Loverne, Georgia again. I called a couple nights ago.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yes, and today's been one of the strangest days of my life. It started, I guess, in this afternoon when I went to my cell phone and I saw that I had about 4 or 5 calls from a bunch of old friends that I hadn't talked to in a while, and I had voicemails from all of them. And I guess, you know, the listeners would probably say, you know, that's just coincidence. And I started listening back on these, and there's normal calls, normal everyday calls that you would get from people, except for the people, they were people that I hadn't talked to in probably 5 or 6 years.
What did they want?
Just to hang out and talk, and they said they were thinking about me. But the curious thing about it was they were all within 1 minute of each other. Each call was like, you know, 4:40 p.m. and then 4:41 p.m. and 4:42 p.m. That was the strange thing.
They all kept coming at the same time. That happened to me. And it was must have been 2 o'clock Pacific time. I had 4 horrendous phone calls from people I care about. All of them not good phone calls. All of them people who were having some problems.
Wow.
I mean, just bang, bang. I was on the phone with one would call in. I'd have to put one on hold. Another would call. It was driving me nuts.
Wow. Well, the weird thing that really happened to me tonight was when I'm a security officer, and when I got to work tonight, about 12:24, there was this lady just parked in the middle of the road. Like, I work at a Walmart doing security. She's between the store and the parking space, just in the middle of the road. So I honked at her and, you know, kind of motioned for her to get out of the way of obstructing traffic. So she starts to pull over, and she drives over a curb, nearly running into a pole.
Oh, God.
And I'm thinking she's drunk, and she drives into, like, a corner parking space, you know. And I drive up to her and to make sure she's getting out of the way, because sometimes people are real obstinate and stubborn.
Sure.
And they'll just go and park somewhere else they're not supposed to be. And so she parks into this corner parking space, except she's just idling, and she lets go of the brake and keeps going and runs smack dab into the front of a white BMW. And the hood of the BMW just comes up and, you know, steaming and everything, makes a loud noise. I mean, this is the weirdest thing, the most damage I've seen for her going at the slow speed that she is. And so I go up to her and, you know, get her license and everything. And when I come up to her, the first thing she says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Ma'am, you just ran smack dam into this white BMW. And she says, "I did? I didn't even know I hit anything."
Oh, my God. These people they're out of it.
Yeah, her eyes were blank. And I tell you, it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. We called the cops, and the cops got there. And the cops said, you know, they asked me, the first thing, was she drunk? And I said, well, that's what I thought. But she swears up and down she hadn't had a drink.
I'm telling you, we're onto something. It's going around the planet. Back with final calls in a moment. Well, we still have some time, so let's wrap it up with some final calls. We'll pick it up by going to you, east of the Rockies. Hi there.
George?
Yes, sir.
My name is Paul. I'm in Maryland.
Hi, Paul.
A couple of or 3 weeks ago, you had a guest on about reptoids.
Yes.
Could only hear a little bit of that. Could you quickly go over that, and what was the gist of what that man was saying?
Patrick Heron talked about the Nephilim and also aliens. And there is a theory that there are different kinds of aliens,
yeah.
Reptoids being one of them. They are not friendly creatures at all. I guess that's the gist of it. They've been visiting us for a long time, and they're evil.
Did he say they have bases here on Earth?
Yes.
I see.
And he claims that most of them live underground.
Okay, George.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Why do you ask, though? I'm curious.
Well, I've always been interested in UFOs since I was a teenager, and I'm interested, and now I'm 53 years old. And that's all. I'm just interested in aliens and UFOs and what it all means.
Okay. Well, we've got some great programs in the weeks ahead for you.
Thank you so much, George.
Okay. Appreciate it, Paul.
All right.
Bye. Up there in Maryland, where my aunt lives, one of them. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, what's up?
This is Alan from Fontana, California.
Hi, Alan.
How are you?
Good.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Listen, I had a weird life since I was a young man.
How weird?
Well, my ex-mother-in-law was a witch.
Now, be nice.
No, well, that's true. I mean, it's funny, but it's true.
That's great.
I found out, the way I found out was, when I first married her daughter when I was 19 years old. And I noticed when I was dating her daughter, she was a psychic, you know. She was born with a veil over her face, and since she was a kid, she was seeing ghosts and spirits and stuff like that. She listened to dead people. She would get messages from dead people.
Did that freak you out?
Not at the time. When I was dating her daughter, I didn't know about those kind of things. I never met anyone like that before. I wasn't really into it. But anyway, I remember one time I was in a band, and I was going to go to band practice. I invited my girlfriend, her daughter, and she didn't want her to go. It's like she didn't like me, you know, from the day she saw me, she didn't like me.
What's wrong with you? You seem like a nice guy.
I was a nice guy.
Yeah. Should be honored that you're taking her daughter out, for crying out loud.
Huh?
She should have been honored.
Anyway, I married her daughter for 5 years, and we used to stay in her house because we couldn't afford to get an apartment for ourselves.
Uh-huh.
We had one or two kids at the time. And it seemed like my life was up and down. I get a job, you know, I was a meat cutter. And I was working for the union, and I was working through the union with a dispatcher. And it seemed like my life was just up and down. I get jobs, and I lose them. I get jobs, I lose them for some reason or another. And it just seemed like her daughter just kept keeping me down, you know. She would come to my job and yell at me and stuff in front of the supervisor.
Oh, she embarrassed you like that? Nah, you don't need that.
But anyway, to get to make the story short, the story shorter. We were doing real good. I had a permanent job. I had a career with a grocery company, and I was working for 3 years, and I was up for a promotion. And so I did something to the daughter, you know, nothing really serious, real bad. She was very jealous of me, you know, with other girls and stuff. Like,
oh,
she didn't want
yeah.
me around the other girls because I was kind of handsome when I was young.
You not probably still are. No, you haven't changed.
Yeah, I've changed.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Huh.
But anyway.
You're honest.
I was in the store, and I met a girl that I grew up with that knew the family and everything, and I took her out to lunch one day, and the lady, we lived around the corner in a complex a condo around the corner from my work, and so one of the ladies that lived next door to us saw her in my car, and I didn't do nothing with her or anything like that.
Oh, but you're guilt by association.
Yeah. So she told my wife, and then my wife went to my mother because she was psychic, and my mother-in-law, I called my wife, you know, and then I called my mother-in-law's house, and she was over there. And my mother-in-law asked me, are you fooling around with my daughter? I said, no. I just explained to her that's a friend of the families and everything, you know. So that was the end of that. So she got me upset, and I told her, yeah, I'm fooling around on her, you know, because at the time, the marriage wasn't really going too good, you know.
So you were fooling around.
And stuff, you know.
You were fooling around.
No, I wasn't. I just told her mother that. Because
you lied to her, huh?
I lied to her because she was acting kind of funny with me, you know, and I was.
You don't want to lie to a witch.
Well, I did, but so after that, I lost my job. I didn't get my promotion. I got fired on the job, so we had to leave the facility where I was at, the complex, and we lost everything. Only thing we had, I bought her a new car, and we had, you know, we lost everything. So I had to move back with the mother-in-law.
See, you got to watch that stuff, Alan. Got to run because we're running out of time. Only have about a minute left. Not enough time to take any more calls, but we will have open lines again for you next week. Indeed. Now, Ian Punnett, this weekend, he's Saturday. That's Ian's regular shift now. He's Saturday. Art does 2 Sundays a month. I am going to do 1 Sunday a month, because I love this show and I'm going to be there. And then the extra Sunday will either be best ofs. Once in a while, we'll pop in another guest host or so. So you still have a full weekend of programming. I'll be back on Monday. How weird. It'll be August 1st. How quickly time is flying by, isn't it? Great weekend. Take care. Be safe. For Kyrus Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Nikki Imbrunoni, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor. I'm going over budget with the staff. Ian Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Have a great weekend. Be safe, everyone.